Merry meet, and welcome to The Pragmatic Pagan. This podcast explores an inclusive pagan path via science-based witchcraft, no deities included. With a focus on nature and energy, this spiritual practice is centered on lunar tides and seasonal cycles. Join me weekly for ways to stay connected and in tune to the universe. And we can stay connected when you follow me on Facebook at A Pragmatic Pagan or on Instagram at The Pragmatic Pagan. Reach out to share your questions or stories. I would love to hear from you. You can also leave a voice message via my page on Anchor Podcasts. Link in the bio. Merry meet all. Hot summer days fade into long, warm evenings. The shadows are growing as the sun is beginning to move into its waning pattern, each day growing shorter by the minute. It is in these long days of waning summer that we begin to harvest the seeds of the year, both literally in our gardens as we begin to see the fruit of our labors come to life, but also in our magical life as the intents we planted at Yule begin to truly manifest. August 1st marks the High Holy Day Lunasa, or Lammas, the first of the harvest celebrations. This Sabbat is one of the 8 High Holy Days and marks a cross quarter of the year, a halfway between an equinox and a solstice. Sitting between the summer solstice and the fall equinox, Lunasa is one of the first 3 harvest festivals. Here, in this first harvest festival, it is all about the celebration of the grain. The grain can embody a multitude of roles in our lives, a symbolic connection to the elements and wheel of life. Consider how we as a culture transform the grain through a diverse array of processes that shape the grain and its role in our lives. The incorporation of barley and grain and its role in our lives makes it a delicious and fun holiday to celebrate. From sporting events to temporary marriages, Lunasa is topped to the brim with festivities. Celebrated with baked goods and beer, this harvest festival traditionally revolves around another bonfire to celebrate the occasion with full feasts. In some traditions, this holiday includes the creation and burning of a corn husk doll, or a John Barleycorn. The story of John Barleycorn originates in Scottish and Irish traditions, often Celtic in origin, as the manifestation of the god Lu, the great sun king and god of light. He was known for his many feats, trials, and tribulations. It was said that through his sacrifice, the season changed and the harvest began. With that in mind, community celebrations often began with the building of John Barleycorn effigies from wood sticks and grain stalks. Shaping their god in man form, they would spend time celebrating the season around this effigy, and on the last night of the celebration, lighted a fire, sacrificing the body of the god in gratitude and recognition of the harvest. But like all pagan traditions, this holiday found its way into Christianity in the form of Lammas. This bread-breaking celebration on August 1st was an easy way to transition the harvest festival into a more secular holiday. However, this time of year is celebrated around the world in various traditions as a period of transition, as the sun begins on its seasonal wane across the sky. With this transition, we must too begin to look to our shadows. The beginning of the harvest season also means the beginning of the end, the moment where we begin to start turning inward and asking ourselves if we made progress this year, what we might change, what is sitting uncomfortably as this year begins to wrap up. Remember, the Witch's New Year falls on the 3rd and final harvest festival, better known as Samhain or All Hallows' Eve, just a few months away. Lunasa, Mabon, and Samhain serve as the transition from the height of basking in summer sun into the shadow work of the autumn and fall before we rest and reflect for the winter. Consider that it begins in a field, ripe from summer growing, golden tips glistening in afternoon sun. The wind blows through, and much like the farmer who reaps the barley, the wind represents the shearing of grain from stalk. A sacrifice from nature, but with it a gift of nourishment, of life. What have we sacrificed this year that gave way to unexpected gifts? Then, under tempered earth and stone, the miller begins to transform the grain, reminding us of process and diversity, the many techniques we use to transform barley. From food grain to brewing, the grain provides, and in diverse ways. How might we learn to be as changing, as diverse in our applications? Then, through heat of fire, the baker transforms this grain into bread and sweets to nourish and delight us. The baker reminds us to celebrate our victories, who we have become. Think back on this year and think of what you have persevered through. This particular year, 2020, we all have shared a story of a pandemic. This is our metaphorical oven, so to speak. Or perhaps the grain encounters water instead of fire. Then through chemistry and patience, the brewer yet again transforms the grain, reminding us what we are capable of. That we too may need time to get those perfect hints and subtle tones that we are hoping for within ourselves. Brewing is a process that requires patience and subtle shifts, a cocooning. As you taste the drink of life this year, what hints of flavor do you discover in your world and energy that you didn't expect? Emotions or feelings brought on by the way that transformation uniquely shapes each of us. All right, witches, time to grab that pencil and paper. Let's talk altar decorations and ways to celebrate. I want to mention ahead of time that the three harvest festivals tend to take on similar imagery, colors, representations. So for that reason, I encourage you to find ways to make each high holy day unique. Many witches incorporate the Sith or Sickle and Crows into this harvest, but I actually hold off on those representations until Mabon with the second harvest festival where I introduce a crow theme, and then Samhain being the third harvest festival is where I introduce the Sickle and Sith imagery. As we move from one year to the next, this is all just about personal preference, but something to consider. As I mentioned, the harvest celebration begins with the harvest of the grain, which means everything from barley stalks to bread, corn, corn dollies, sunflowers, gourds, cornucopia, roosters, calves, pigs, all could adorn your altar. Colors for this holiday include the gold and yellows of wheat and the oranges of bright sunsets. Bronze and light brown also make sneak appearances. Another traditional aspect you can embrace is the building and burning of a corn husk dolly. In focusing on the non-deity path, we can also look at this as a moment of our first letting go. Letting go of whoever we were when the year began as we harvest in our new skills, thoughts, and ideas, as we integrate our new selves. So, build a corn husk that represents that which you are releasing to make way for the harvests of your intents. As you show gratitude, let go of that which holds you and assimilate the new. This can start as an altar adornment as early as the summer solstice and weave into your ritual practice for Lunasa. Now, let's move on to celebrations. With the pandemic in full swing here in the States, it's responsible to limit these to virtual interactions, but consider baking and sharing bread or recipes or a virtual beer gathering. If you are in a community, consider how you might make each other kits for tasting or send over treats. There are still ways to stay connected in all this isolation. Host online gatherings, and share your progress on your yearly intents. Like all pagan Sabbats, this is a time for celebration and community. This particular high holy day also falls on a beautiful corn full moon, a silver ball surrounded by a golden hue. This full moon rises in the sign of Aquarius, and whether or not you take stock in astrology, it provides us a roadmap that allows us to question, confront, and enjoy different aspects of being. Aquarius asks us to enjoy self-expression and community. How appropriate that it would land itself and share the energy space with Lunasa. Aquarius is a time of self-expression, a moment to really let the self you have become in the last seasonal cycle show through. A harvest of the work you have put in. This is a time to share your gift with your community and loved ones. So while you host that celebration, consider how you might enjoy each other's talents, from baking to bardic performances, or perhaps it's handcrafted items or tarot readings, or a simple share out of the goals and achievements of this past year. Not sure how to start your ritual? Whether a full moon or Sabbat, I always recommend a good cleansing bath before slipping into comfortable ritual wear. Something that lets you enjoy the warm summer days, taking in that feel of golden heat on skin. There's also always the food element. How will you feast? While not always part of the tradition, some Sabbats can also include a fasting element up until the feast. In the case of Lunasa, appropriate food is going to be everything from deliciously risen baked bread to slowly roasted corn. From there, it's about deciding with who you will be celebrating. alone, virtually, you can shape and share festivities from there. Everything from a bonfire to baked goods, beer tasting, and the sharing of progress on intents. Are you as far along on your Yule intents as you thought? As a solitary practitioner, it is completely okay if your community is just you. But I do recommend this as a time to jump into the listener Facebook group and share your celebrations. A photo or image that speaks to how you celebrate is a great way to build community without sharing the details of your practice. Also, perhaps you have family that you could incorporate into a celebration. I admit this gets tricky if you aren't out of the broom closet yet. However, sometimes you can keep the celebration simple and not mention a darn thing. Have a barbecue with family. Do you have to share that you are using this moment to celebrate the season with your community? No. But if you are willing, this is also an easy way to introduce the concept of celebrations outside of the usual set. This is completely up to you and your comfort level. Once you have the shape of your ritual, it is time to take it a bit deeper. Consider that the elemental perspective I mentioned at the beginning, and how this might be incorporated into your ritual as a way to give thanks as the farmer, to celebrate diversity and ingenuity as the miller, to break bread as the baker, and to savor patience and growth as the brewer. This interpretation of the holiday allows for a deeper dive into each of the aspects and how they relate to a harvest. Consider how your ritual might include meditations or deep dives into each of these practices. Can you harvest? Many places offer outdoor berry picking during these months, truly a way to get out into fresh air, feel the breeze, and give gratitude as you pick your plunder. Imagining each piece a representation of the intents you hatched at Yule, each one coming to fruit. And you can do this in your own garden as well. But then it's about processing, eliminating the useful from the adornment. And here you can turn inward, asking yourself what progress you made on your intents. Where have things changed? Because, come on, global pandemic. Then, bake some bread. You can even learn to make yeast from scratch. These hands-on processes create appreciation for transformation, a slow patience of learning. How does this come into play as you assess your intents for this year? Do some need to go back in the oven for another turn of the wheel? This is where our brewer teaches us patience and the fine art of nuance. Perhaps some of our intents have come to fruition, but not in the intended way. And have long-delayed intents started to rise to the surface? Take stock of your internal harvest and consider the seed you will begin to plant in the next seasonal cycle. Merry Lunasa, all. Thank you for joining me for this episode of The Pragmatic Pagan. Please reach out with any questions or stories you are willing to share. And stay connected by joining me on Facebook at A Pragmatic Pagan or on Instagram at The Pragmatic Pagan. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, until we merry meet again.